On this episode of the Oklahoma Breakdown with Hiker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino, it is Senior Bowl week, and we've got Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, to break it all down, and then we answer some of your questions in a Q&A session. Please download and subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars and write us a good review. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Oklahoma Breakdown on any of those, and you'll find us. All right, our man Michael Hosty will kick this thing off. It's time for the Oklahoma Breakdown. It's a beautiful Sunday, January 28th, and you're listening to the Oklahoma Breakdown with Hiker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino. Riverwind is Oklahoma City's premier casino experience, and there's so many reasons why Riverwind is consistently voted OKC's number one casino, but it all starts with their amazing variety of gaming thrills and excitement. Riverwind's beautiful award-winning environment plays host to more than 2,800 of the latest electronic games, with a huge selection of table games, including blackjack, blackjack match roulette, and Teddy's favorite, craps. No matter what your game, Riverwind has it in spades and hearts. And to learn more about their gaming promotions and entertainment options in the month of January, all you got to do is visit Riverwind.com. Riverwind Casino, simply the best. We're recording this one in advance. Ted, are you worried? You worried something crazy is going to happen for OU football and we miss it?
I'm not too worried. We got a little bit of buffer zone in there.
That's true. Yeah. I'm going out of town. So if something drastic happened in the world of OU football, we'll get to it on Wednesday. I promise.
Yeah. It'll be all right.
We'll have you covered, but We've got an awesome interview with the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, because Ted, it is Senior Bowl week, my friend.
Yep. It's here. It all happens really fast. As soon as that national championship game's over with, feels like you have a week or so to catch your breath, and then you've got Senior Bowl stuff coming, and then spring football's going to start before long. So it's already on us.
And you know what we have at the end of this episode?
What's that?
It's your favorite, man. Q&A.
Yes. Yes. Q&A, baby.
And just so people know, yeah, I know the questions because I have to gather them and decide which ones we're going to answer. But I asked you, Ted, hey, do you want the questions beforehand or do you want to fly blind? And what did you say?
Let's fly this thing blind, man. If you want a real reaction, instant, let's do this thing blind. It's the only way to get the real me, the real answers.
I love that. All right. We've got a big week in college football with it being Senior Bowl week. Practices are the big deal down there in Mobile. And, of course, you still have the game. So let's talk to Jim Nagy. But first, Love's Travel Stops is now offering a nationwide 10 cent per gallon discount on gas and auto diesel. Just download the Love's Connect app and scan your barcode at the prompt on screen and watch that price drop 10 cents per gallon. Across the country, the Love's Connect app unlocks exclusive deals, can help any traveler plan their route or meal on the highway. So before you hit the road, be sure to download the Love's Connect app to save 10 cents per gallon and experience the country's best highway hospitality at Love's Travel Stops. Love's also has you covered if you forget your phone charger or headphones with their expanded mobile to-go zone. And, of course, don't forget to grab yourself some of that delicious Java Hamole.
And celebrate with Schooner All-American Ale, the official craft beer of OU Athletics from Coop Ale Works. Named after the iconic Sooner Schooner that races across Owen Field after an OU score, you can join in on the celebration with an ice-cold beer from Coop Ale Works. You can enjoy it at the Palace on the Prairie, at OU athletic events, at the bar, at the tailgate, in the comfort of your own home. For more information on Schooner All-American Ale, visit schoonerale.com. Must be 21 to purchase. Please drink responsibly. Schooner All-American Ale, the taste of game day.
And Simple Modern is an Oklahoma drinkware company founded by OU grads. They have fantastic products, and that's why they found tremendous success selling their products at Target, Walmart, Amazon, and simplemodern.com. I use Simple Modern cups. My wife uses Simple Modern cups. My kids use Simple Modern cups. Their products are for the entire family. Also, if you are a small business owner looking for some marketing swag for current and future customers, they make excellent customized products. Check it all out at simplemodern.com today. All right, here is the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. It is our pleasure to be joined by the executive director. Yeah, executive director. That's how you know he's important, of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy is in the house. Nags, what's going on, man?
Dude, stop it. No, it's good to
You're
be on with
wearing
you
a
guys.
suit. You've changed, bro. You've
I know,
changed.
I gotta get this off. No, man, it's good to be on with you. It's good to be talking football. There's a lot of other distractions and stuff going on right now that aren't football related. Anytime I can talk football, we're back at
Now, is this your least favorite time of the year or your most
it.
favorite? Because I know it's probably a lot of fun, but it equals a ton of work, right?
Yeah, and again, I'm so lucky, guys. I mean, I have to say it. Our staff is unbelievable. Going back to what time you guys played, I mean, we've got some support staff people. Dean Kleinschmidt, our trainer, is going on his 53rd Senior Bowl. So, like, we have some people that have been around this game for a long time that care a lot about it. So it makes my job easier, a lot easier. But yeah, I mean, I'll say this: like the week leading in isn't a lot of fun because it's just a lot of operational stuff and odds and ends and. But the best time is player first day of practice. Like when you get all the guys here, they're out there in their pads, they got all the different helmets on, and it's real football again. And you're seeing like some of these guys I haven't seen play live. Like a lot, you know, our staff has, we've got scouts all over the country, but like some of these guys I'm seeing for the first time in person, man. So it's that's my favorite time. This part not so much. We're just trying to get them here first.
So there was a big change this year for you and for your staff. Underclassmen are now eligible for the Senior Bowl. How much different did that make the evaluation process and how you guys handled the invitations for this year's game?
Yeah, you know, that thing got announced at the beginning of November, and I think people thought that we, you know, would get caught with our pants down, if you will. But the nice thing was the league office gave us a heads up like in August that they were thinking about it. And so our scouts were out all fall looking at the juniors. They were on the board, like we were building the board with the junior class. So again, always there's always some juniors that surprise you that, you know, you don't account for, guys that, you know, just kind of pop up on you. But for the most part, I think we did a good job scouting up those players. And in terms of putting the roster and the invite process together, yeah, it certainly changed. I mean, I'll have to go back after this season, and once we get through the game, and you know, kind of self-scout us, and how do we did we do a good job? Did we, you know, can we do it better? But you know, you can't invite a full 120, 130 on your roster of seniors when there's good juniors out there. Let's face it. I mean, usually the guys that come out as juniors are our top 3 or 4 round players. We're talking about like fringe top 100 players. So, you know, there was probably a couple spots that like we didn't get any junior wide receivers, which is like shocking to me. Like we had 4 or 5 spots reserved for those guys. We, you know, we had 7 top 100 receivers last year in the game. You know, Puka Nacua, Tank Dell, Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, like all these guys that blew up this year in the NFL. I mean, we've done a really nice job. Our staff's done a great job scouting that position, and we couldn't get any of those juniors to buy into it. But we got like 6 safeties, and we've got a bunch of, you know, we got some like first and second round offensive linemen. So, you know, I think we're just going to have to go back next year and look at maybe I over allocated for juniors at certain spots, but it just made for a different process, more of, I'd say more of a fluid process, right? Because once the juniors declare, and they either, you know, say they're going to play the game or not going to play, well, then you circle back to the next group of seniors that you liked, and you bring those guys. So it certainly changed the process.
Well, it's interesting, and maybe this is more of a draft question than it is Senior Bowl, but like, how much has the NIL situation impacted a lot of those juniors that maybe were on the fence or guys that just straight up would have declared previously, now that there's some money to be made and maybe feel like they can have a better year, how many guys are you seeing it a lot more that guys are sticking around to play an extra year?
A lot. Like, I can't even express to you how different this year was. I mean, I'll say this. So, you know, we've got our board set. We said that first wave of invites in November, we start getting all these acceptances back. And I hope I don't want to sound a certain way, but I got this feedback a lot from the agent community was like, you know, Jim, when this senior didn't get your invite, like that kind of told him like where he stood and he probably should go back to school. So then you had guys like taking that money, you know, the schools were offering the NIL money. The kid didn't think he had a Senior Bowl invite. And again, I'm not trying to make it sound like our game's the end all be all by any means. I'm not trying to sound like that. But guys were just like, you know what, I'm going to take 100 grand or 200 grand and go back and play another year of college. Now, I think where the players need help is really navigating the dollars and cents of it. Because I was put in the position in the middle a few times this fall, which I've never been done, where like coaches would ask me to meet with their players about trying to keep them in school for another year. And for me, it's like, you guys know this, like it doesn't make sense for every kid to go back and use that extra COVID year. Sometimes as evaluators, as you know, as a former scout, you would sit in draft rooms, and this isn't like a negative thing at all. You know, certain players have high ceilings and they're just scratching it, and they're, you know, they're raw, their best football is still ahead of them. And then there's other guys that are, you know, they're kind of tapped out. They are what they are. That's not a bad thing. You know, there's certain guys that, you know, they project as backup level players in the NFL and guys that can play for 10 years as, you know, a good special teams player and a backup. But if he goes back for another year of college, he's not really helping his draft stock at all. Like, he was going to be a fourth rounder this year because of some sort of physical limitation, why the league feels like he has a ceiling. Or if he goes back next year, he'll be a fourth rounder. So the players need help. Like, if we're going to be in this whole extra COVID year, NIL money, draft thing, like, I saw a lot of players making some decisions that from a football perspective, and again, I don't care. The Senior Bowl, like, we got the players we wanted to get. So it's more about the depth of the draft for the teams and more about the player themselves. Some players weren't making great football decisions just because they could go back and make like $100,000. But if you go to the NFL as a fifth round draft pick and you make the roster with your signing bonus, you're making like $1.5 million. So like, I'm not a math guy, but like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, so I don't know, man, I'm getting long winded on you, but it really was a convoluted process. It was for a players, I'm sure it was a really tricky process. You know, you have your coaches asking you to come back and you got NIL money people coming at you. And, you know, it's a lot for these players to navigate, man. I feel for them.
So that's an interesting transition into talking about the OU guys. And what you just laid out, Jim, it's kind of exactly what Dylan Gabriel talked about when he said he's going to go back to college for another year. Now he ends up at Oregon. But is that the perfect example of a guy that looked at the situation, didn't have an invite to the Senior Bowl from you guys, and said, hey, maybe the best decision for me is to go back to college for another year? That's kind of the first example that popped into my head as you were laying that out.
And Dylan was one of the guys that he mentioned it. He said, he's like, I didn't get a Senior Bowl invite. And again, Dylan Gabriel's had a great year, man. Like, it's no slight. We take a lot of backlash on social media. Like, Dylan Gabriel had a great year for Oklahoma. It doesn't, you know, but again, being a great college player doesn't, and this isn't even to Dylan, but like, I think sometimes fans don't understand like the difference between being a really good college player and being an NFL player. I mean, you guys have done it. It's just it's two different things, right? I mean, you can be a great college player and not be a great pro prospect. I mean, that's, I'm not talking about Dylan right now.
Oh, I'm a perfect example of that. That's me, man. It's fine. You're not insulting me. It's fine. Hey,
look at all the stuff behind your wall, man. I got none of that. So, I mean, shoot. But in Dylan's case, like, the quarterbacks are a little different. Like, there is real money to be made in the quarterback market. I mean, I hear a lot of these numbers from the agents. I mean, these guys are making, you know, upwards north of seven figures. So that's where it does make sense. Like, if you were going to be a sixth or seventh round quarterback, but you could go back to college and make $2 million at pick a school, Auburn or Michigan or Ohio State or Florida, like, you're probably better off going and making that guaranteed money rather than, if you're a sixth or seventh round draft pick quarterback, you're rolling the dice. Usually those guys end up on practice squads. So quarterback's a little bit different. For some of these other position players, I don't know. It just it seems like some of these guys went back and they're taking way less money. Just because it's so new. They didn't have any former – they didn't have buddies. They didn't be like, hey, what did you do? Like, how did you handle this? Like, it's all new to these guys. So, again, man, I don't envy where they're at.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it's got to be weird, too, with, you know, the portal rules and the COVID year. I mean, there's probably some players that are coming to the Senior Bowl, maybe some of the older guys that you've ever seen there, and maybe those guys don't end up as the Senior Bowl invite. But it's like the next couple of years, and maybe you can include last year, it's just the classes seem strange.
They seem really strange. And it's hard to track. I mean, we were trying to add a player last night. I saw he put something on Twitter. He's coming out. He hadn't said that before. So, you know, you call him and he's just had a labrum surgery. So, you know, then we had a DB fallout a couple of days ago. So, you know, at this time of the year, we've got our board stacked and there's a clump on the board. Like the next guy's up. I take a screenshot of it. I send the picture to like 15 buddies around the NFL that are like director level guys that have access to all their grades and can give me good, really good feedback. And one of the guys that came back is like the top guy. I called his college head coach. I'm like, where's so-and-so at now? He's like, oh man, he injured his foot. He's coming back next year. He's coming back here. But none of the teams knew it. Like NFL teams didn't know this guy's going back to college yet. So there is just like, man, this whole, the extra COVID year, it's gotten really murky, really messy. No one knows where these players are at, what they're playing. I mean, you're going to show up to the pro days and there's going to be guys at pro day to work out and be like, man, I thought you were going back to school. So yeah, it's a really kind of chaotic time in the college football world. And again, not to like go on another tangent, but look, we just saw Nick Saban, you know, the greatest head coach of all time. He basically retired because of it. It's just, it's crazy right now. So yeah, man, lots going on.
Let's talk about a couple of the OU guys. You've got two OU guys that are participating. Let's start with Tyler Guyton, man. This is a guy, I think a couple of years ago, I sent you something. Hey,
I remember.
Remember this name, bud. And yeah. Just how excited are you to get Guyton down in Mobile?
Oh, so fired up, man. Just because I know what it's going to look like. And I know the jump he's going to make, you know, in this draft process. You know, the word freak and the word like words like buzzwords, like people talk about generational talents now, like, man, that stuff wears me out. But Tyler Guyton is truly has some freaky stuff to him physically. You know, like there's only a handful of, you know, there's two or three freaks in every draft. Tyler Guyton's different now. Like you saw him before I did. You pointed him out before I saw him. I mean, former tight end at TCU. Sooners fans obviously know this guy, but like when you put on the tape, he floats out there. I mean, he absolutely floats. Like everyone's talking about Olu Fashanu from Penn State and Joe Alt from Notre Dame being the top two tackles in this year's draft, and not slighting either of those players at all because they're not playing the Senior Bowl. It has nothing to do with that. Those guys are great players. They're going to be good pros, but I think Tyler Guyton's got a higher ceiling than both of those guys. I mean, he does things you can't coach. He does things physically, athletically, in space, you know, covering people up in pass protection, just dancing with them, that those other two guys can't do. Now you could make the argument those two guys might be a little more pro ready. They've logged a lot more starts in college football than Tyler has, because, you know, he was log jam behind Anton Harrison and Wanye last year. But his, you talk about best football ahead of him. The guy he reminded me of when I did him, and scouts like to do this, and I don't like to do it unless it's really like a spot on, everything lines up, body type, athleticism, play style, all the things, is Tyron Smith, you know, the former USC tackle for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, this guy because Tyron played right tackle at USC as well. He was not a left tackle in college, even though he was so athletic, similar to Guyton. And we've seen what Tyron Smith has done. That's the guy when I started watching him. So I'm excited to get him here again. I think he's just gonna, you know, this is gonna be the start of the Tyler Guyton pre-draft process ascension. So you know, if he ends up in that, I'd be surprised if he didn't end up in the top 10 when this whole thing's said and done.
It feels like tackle is a position where, you know, if you've got a guy that's maybe not as polished, is transitioning from like a tight end, but the measurables are there and the testing numbers are there, that teams are willing to take. I mean, it's not a flyer, but you're willing to risk with a really high pick the possible upside. And maybe there's not a whole lot of positions like that.
No, and it's because they can keep your quarterback healthy, right? I mean, look at the NFL this year with how many backups played. The number was whatever it was. We ended up starting 60 quarterbacks in the NFL, 60-some quarterbacks. It was crazy. But, yeah, you're right. And I think where all you have to do is look at another former Sooner, Lane Johnson. I mean, look at Lane. We just put him in our Senior Bowl Hall of Fame a couple summers ago. And he talked about it. He's like, man, his JUCO background as a quarterback and goes there as a tight end and whatever. He played defensive end for a couple of days in practice, whatever. I mean, he had this really cool background, but he wasn't the finished product. And he came to Mobile, and that was I was still with the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, you know, Lane Johnson draft. And those guys all ended up in the top four. Lane went fourth. And coming into Mobile, all those guys were like, well, I would say this. I would say Jokel was considered a top 10 pick, but Eric Fisher and Lane Johnson were like late ones, early twos. And then they come down here and have a great week. And so I think that, and why Lane is great, and you guys know this because I know you know Lane, like he's made of the right stuff too. He's competitive. He's freaking nasty. He's tough. I mean, tough as hell. So, you know, the league is going to try to figure out if Tyler has those things. You know, that's what made Lane a great player, a perennial all pro. Tyler's got the physical stuff. You can see that on the tape. What they're going to drill down on here in Mobile and the rest of the process is how he's wired. And if he's wired right, there's no reason the guy shouldn't be an all pro.
I'm with you. And my conversations with Tyler over the last couple of years, I think he wants to be great. And like you mentioned, Nags, I think that's a big part of this whole thing. Now, the other Sooner you'll have down in Mobile is Andrew Rame. What did you think of Rame as you evaluated the tape?
He is like your just your classic center. You know, like he's not. And I didn't go to Mass O-line OL Masterminds with Duke Manaweather over the summer, but our DFO did, and he met Andrew there and loved the guy. But he said he's like Jim. No, he doesn't feel real big when you get up on him, you know, so that's probably going to make him a center only at the next level. But when you talk about not having a ton of position versatility, they better be a starter. And I think Andrew Rame's going to be a starting center. I do. I think, I mean, you know better than I, way better than I do, but I mean, you can play a long time in the NFL at that position. If you have high end makeup stuff, you know, smarts, you know, toughness, competitiveness, dependability, understanding the game, you know, not just smarts like helping the quarterback out and setting protections and doing all that stuff, but like just knowing how to play the spatial awareness, the timing. He's got all that stuff. And he was trained by, I mean, Bill Biedenbaugh's unbelievable. We've talked about it on the show before. What a great job Bill does. Did an unbelievable job with Walter Rouse this year. I don't know if you were going to ask me about Walter, but Bill did an awesome
job. I'm going to ask you why you didn't invite him. You know that.
But Bill did an awesome job with Walter Rouse, getting him from what he looked like on Stanford tape to what he looked like on Sooner tape this fall. So yeah, man, we're excited to get Andrew here. Those guys will be on the same squad. They'll be on the American squad with all the other SEC guys. It's basically the SEC versus the world this year on that American team versus the national. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, what was the story with Rouse? How'd that whole situation unfold?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's a great question. He was one of those guys that you know, we certainly liked enough to invite to the Senior Bowl. I mean, he deserves to be here. Again, this is a. I'll say this: I can't speak to games before the Senior Bowl. I was in the league at that point, but I can just speak to the last 5 years. This is the best offensive line crew we're going to have, and we had five first rounders my first year here, so that's saying a lot. This is a really deep group. It was the hardest cut we've ever had to make. And we, you know, we have an arrangement, you know, the league office makes us do like a gentleman's agreement with another one of the All-Star games that we won't take any of their players after a certain date. And, you know, when we had a couple low line spots open up, cause we got like three really good juniors on the offensive line. There was a couple more we held spots for that we were hoping to get that we didn't get. So then we wanted to circle back to some of the seniors. And at that point, Walter Rouse was committed to playing another game, and we would have loved to have him, but that is what it is. That's kind of the structure that we're put into.
As the guy that played in the Shrine game and the Senior Bowl, that's going to make Walter really sad when he hears that. But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. It's fine.
I think he knows, Gabe, because his agent was furious about it when I told him that we couldn't. I told him we wanted him, but we couldn't go get him, the agent was not happy.
I can only imagine. Now, one more OU guy I want to ask you about, and I understand the NFL, it's a traits league, right? It is a, you know, height, length, speed, like all that stuff. But we love Drake Stoops. We love Drake Stoops. I know he was a guy that you guys had your eye on. How close was he to getting an invite? You mentioned you had held a lot of spots at the wide receiver position. He just had such a great year. I was hoping that he would somehow be able to make it in, but it just didn't happen that way.
No, it didn't. That's another. Walter Rouse and Drake. Those two are probably the two deepest positions in the draft, the overall draft class, in our game as well. It's just wide receivers a really tough nut to crack when you're only bringing, you know, 14, 15. I think we might be at 16 now, but somewhere in that, you know, that 15-ish wide receivers in the entire country. I mean, think about how schools are throwing the ball around right now. And every school's got, you know, two kids that catch at least 60 balls now on every offense. So that's really a hard position. And Drake did have a great year. I talked to some guys that this scout the Southwest, you know, I hit them up about, you know, just the player and the person, really more so the person, because we don't, you know, we don't have the budget to be in schools every day. Like, we're at games every Saturday, but we're not in the building every day like the teams are. And it sounds like he's unbelievable. I saw the one interview. I want to say he was being asked about whether he's going to play in the bowl game or not. And it was one of the coolest answers I've heard a player give, and just his love for that team. And I mean, I want to invite him just based off that interview, because obviously he's the kind of dude that you want to build a team with. So he'll get his chance with an NFL team. We would have loved to have him here, but he just kind of fell below the line.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to watch whenever you're there throughout the week of practice and gearing up for the game? And I always think about the O-line, D-line one-on-ones and the receiver one-on-ones. It's like, there's a massive amount of money changing hands, and I don't even think they recognize it at the time. So it's always cool to see those battles. Is that kind of what gets everyone going down there?
Yeah, I think they're the most popular. And again, you don't have to, and this is no knock on the average fan. I mean, I love that people love football, right? And I love that people love watching the Senior Bowl, but you know, not a lot of people can watch 11 on 11 and know exactly what's going on with coverages and protections and things of that nature, but everybody can watch two guys go one-on-one and know who the winner and loser is, right? Like it's pretty defined. We know who, there's not many stalemates in the one-on-ones. We know who won and who lost. And I think that's what fans love. I actually, when I was doing some stuff at ESPN for a few years, I pitched them on that. I'm like, why don't you do a Senior Bowl one-on-one special, like an hour-long special at the end of the week, and just put together, because fans love that. They know who won. They know who won those battles. So those are a lot of fun. And then I'd say behind the scenes, I love seeing just the interaction with the players from the different schools. I mean, just the bonds that are formed throughout the week. And by the time these guys leave Mobile, and that's just a lot of fun. You know, you get guys that are part of certain rivalries that have played against each other. And I'll share this story real quickly. A few years ago, we had two guys in the game, a Michigan guy, Ben Bredesen, who went in the fourth round to the Ravens, and then Jonah Jackson, who went in the third round to the Lions from Ohio State. And after the game that night, we were all up eating dinner, grabbing some food at the hotel, and I saw this Michigan T-shirt on. It said Bredesen on the back, and I went up and grabbed him by the shoulders. I'm like, you know, great game, Ben. And he turns around, it was Jonah Jackson. So you got this Ohio State guy wearing this Michigan guy's t-shirt. Like, no one would ever think that would happen. But and those two got tight over the course of the week. They were like inseparable. So that's just kind of some of the behind the scenes stuff I love.
That's awesome. Now, you were a scout for a really long time, and I know that you still love grinding the tape, and I know you've got a lot of guys coming to Mobile, but what is a guy or two where you turned on the tape and after a couple plays, you just turned to your staff and you went, yep, invite that guy. And like, it was just an absolute no brainer right away.
Oh, I mean, Guyton's definitely one of them. That's the thing with this job, man. Like, you don't have to sit there and wear out the tape on guy like Aiden Hutchinson a couple years ago. Like, we watched Aiden Hutchinson in the summer, and I don't even know if I watched any Aiden Hutchinson senior tape. Like, he was good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not looking to draft players. They just need to be good enough to come to the Senior Bowl. So that was an easy one. Tyler Guyton's an easy one. You know, I would say I'm trying to think of guys that, like, I'm looking forward to seeing that were McKinley Jackson. I'm trying to think of, like, some obscure names that people might – McKinley Jackson's a D-tackle from Texas A&M. He's from up the road in Loosedale, Mississippi. It's only about 40 minutes from here. There's a big all-star game. I know that Oklahoma has – in Texas, they have big all-star games in high school too. But the big one over here is, like, Mississippi against Alabama. It's a huge high school all-star game. And the guys in the media down here that go to that game every year, McKinley Jackson won the MVP of the game from his nose tackle spot. Like, this guy is so explosive. When we put on the junior tape over the summer, he had missed like five games last year as a junior. And I put on the Alabama game. Alabama couldn't block this dude. Could not block him. Super explosive, disruptive, just creating havoc. So, like, in the summertime, I'm thinking we might not be able to get this guy. You know, like, he might be one of those guys that's a slam dunk top 10, top 15 pick, and he doesn't think he needs a Senior Bowl. So I was, like, worried it was going to be that. But they just played him a little differently there than we'll probably – you know, he's more of a shade, in my opinion. Like, he was playing a zero tech at Texas A&M for the most part. So we're going to get him – we're going to get him on, you know, shaded on the center at a three and a one and a three and let him just get rip up field and be explosive. So he's a guy I'm really excited to see. But – like, tools-wise, he jumped off the tape to me. He was an easy one.
You have any favorite kind of success stories, maybe a guy that was down the list a little bit and maybe a couple guys backed out, a late add, maybe you guys had a discussion whether or not he should be there or not, shows up, balls, gets drafted, goes on to have great success?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple quickly. One was Christian Watson, the receiver from the Green Bay Packers. You know, had a monster rookie year last year. This year went through some injury stuff. But, you know, part of our process, you and I, we've all talked about it. Like, our scouts, you know, go out and scout. We put our board together. Once we feel good about it around Halloween time, that's when we hop on calls with teams. And they last like 3 hours. And we're on these calls. We're going position by position, just sharing grades and sharing notes. And I, you know, this game is for the teams, not for us. So I want to bring the players the NFL wants to see, but I also want to have us do our own work. So we're not just like fishing grades from teams. But anyway, Christian Watson was like a fourth or fifth round pick for everybody. And he had hands issues at North Dakota State. Like, you knew he was fast and fluid and long and big, but he struggled catching it. And so that's a big deal at receiver, right? Guys that struggle catching the ball. And we brought him down here to Mobile. He's one of the last – I think he might have been the last receiver we took 2 years ago and ended up being the 34th pick in the draft. I mean, the speed showed up at the FCS level. I remember going up to Northern Iowa and talking to their head coach. They had been there a long, long time, back to when Randy Moss was at Marshall and Marshall was in FCS school. He said, he's like, Jim, did you invite the North Dakota State receiver? Yeah, I said, no, we haven't yet. He goes, he's the fastest FCS kid I've seen since Randy Moss. And then we got Christian down here, and that showed up. I mean, he looked different. And then just talking about an offensive lineman, the COVID year was a crazy year. We had our game. We're, you know, kind of the only thing in the draft process that year. They didn't have the combine. There was a kid at Wisconsin Whitewater, Quinn Miners, who was training with Duke Manyweather in Dallas. You know, they canceled the Division III season. This kid's from Wisconsin Whitewater. They canceled the season at that level for all schools. He goes down to Duke, and he's training with I'm blanking on his name. First round pick, San Diego Chargers, went to Northwestern.
Slay, Slad, left Slater. Tackle, Slater.
Slater. Yeah, so he and Slater are training at Duke's together. And to his credit, his agent was sending me pictures of those two guys training at Duke side by side. Like, what one would get out on a pole, the next guy'd get out on a pole. And I love Slater, Rayshon Slater. I loved Rayshon Slater. He was our top rated offensive lineman in that draft. It was like him and Penei Sewell. And, you know, the more he sent me these videos, I'm like, man, like, this looks pretty close. Like, these two guys aren't that different. And again, when we got on the calls with the teams that year, everyone was like, some seventh round, but mostly everyone had free agent grades on them. I mean, if you're an NFL scout and you put a draftable grade on a D3 player, you are putting your you-know-whats on the table for that guy. I mean, that is a hefty grade for Division III football to say he's going to be in the NFL. But that was the one time we kind of went against where the league had a guy graded. I'd been watching these little highlight videos of practices, of workout sessions. So we brought him, and the rest was history. He was kind of the talk of the Senior Bowl. His belly was hanging out all week, but he dominated, and Quinn went in the third round of the Denver Broncos, and now he's one of the best guards in football. So those are a couple, man. Sorry, I probably got really long-winded on you.
Those are good.
Last one, and we'll let you get out of here, Jim. The alma mater won it all. How you feeling? It had to be a good feeling. Your Wolverines got it done.
Well, I'll say a couple things. 26 years is a long time. I graduated in 96. They won it the next year. Living here in Alabama for as long as I've been and watching all these tied national championships, it made it probably a little bit sweeter. I was just fearful. If Michigan lost to Alabama, I would have never heard the end of it from my bosses, the people I work with. So I was glad we got that one out of the way. But I was just happy for those players. I mean, I always go back to the players, and that was a rough year, man. I mean, your coach isn't on the sidelines. You got fans and media speculating on whether your wins are legit and if you're stealing signs, and they're trying to downplay like the team you are. And to see that group like come together, like those players didn't even want us to announce their Senior Bowl invites till after they were done playing this year. So we announced them as a group, like all eight of them. They got the most guys in the game. And so it was cool for those players, man. I mean, to play up until the sign stealing thing, then they had to play Penn State, Ohio State, Iowa in the Big Ten Championship, and then the two CFP games. So I'm just, that was cool. Happy for those guys.
Jim, we always appreciate the time, man. I love that this has become an annual visit. I know you're a very busy man, but I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks guys for having me on. Love hopping on, and appreciate you guys promoting the game, supporting the game.
Nagy's got a lot on his plate, man. There's so many moving parts with that game now. It's crazy.
Yeah, you think that the roster it's all nice and clean. Everyone gets invited at the same time. Everyone shows up. No big deal, but it's a shuffling all the way up to the last moment. That's pretty interesting.
I would like to point something out. Tyler Guyton, invite. Andrew Rame, invite. And you heard him, and Walter Rouse is going to be upset, but he was going to get invited. There's been some chatter about Bill Beanbow the last couple months. I'm here to tell you, people, having three of your guys invited to the Senior Bowl ain't too shabby, okay?
Yep.
Just saying.
Sure. There's a premium on Bill Beanbow coached offensive lineman in the NFL. There's no doubt about it.
Just saying. Off my guy's back. Let's get to the Q&A, man. I'm fired up for this one. We got a lot of great questions. But first,
all you grill masters, listen up. Didier Ranch delivers premium quality beef that is 100% raised in Oklahoma right to your front door. Go to DidierRanch.com, D-I-D-I-E-R, Ranch.com to order one of their premium quality beef boxes and use promo code Oklahoma15 for 15% off your order. Filet, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, steak, burgers. They got it all, and they ship anywhere in the continental U.S., and Oklahomans get it delivered in just 1 to 2 days. The only thing better than having a lot of premium beef on the O-line and D-line is having premium beef delivered right to your front door. Didier Ranch, tradition tastes better.
And head to the garage for hand-smashed patties, butter, toasted buns, and ice-cold beer. It's the perfect spot to watch any big game, and with all garage locations being open to 10 p.m. or later every night, it's the go-to late-night spot. Visit eatatthegarage.com to find a location near you and order online from the garage in your neighborhood. Q&A. Question one comes from Cooper Simon. Thanks for the question, Cooper. This is a good one. Who is your favorite OU player before your time, favorite OU player after your time, and most underrated OU player during your time?
Favorite OU player before my time, Joe Washington. Love Joe Washington. Love his highlights. Always love to think about what he would look like in some of these newer offenses and get that dude out in some space is just absolutely incredible before his time. Favorite OU player after your time, two of them, Blake Bell and Drake Stoops. Those two are tied. And those are my three favorite Sooners of all time. That's my short list. Everyone knows that. But Blake Bell and Drake Stoops, the reasons for those two guys are totally obvious. Everyone knows. Awesome guys. Most underrated OU player during your time? This may sound weird because he was a first-round draft pick, but it's Andre Wolfolt. You have a guy that was – he doesn't get talked a lot about, like, that era of players. And, I mean, I guess I can understand why. You got Roy Williams. You got a bunch of, like, really well-known guys. But Andre Wolfolt was, like, I think it was probably the leading receiver on the 2000 National Championship team. And to take a leading receiver, pluck him off the offense, put him on defense – and becomes a first-round corner and probably the best special teams player during that entire period. I was on all of the special teams phases, block kicks, block punts, just an incredible all-around athlete, Andre Wolfolt.
Okay. Those are all fantastic answers. Favorite OU player before my time? Easy. Trent Smith. And there's a story. There's a story. We played Clinton. I think it was seventh grade. We went to Clinton and played them. And I actually believe I forgot my cleats and my brother had to drive them out to Clinton. By the way, that was shout out to my brother, Ben. But ended up getting the cleats. And I was playing tight end in seventh grade. I wanted to play quarterback. They wouldn't let me play quarterback. For whatever reason, but I was playing tight end. Had a good game, said, and I will never forget it. One of the Clinton coaches came up to me after the game. And this was what, 2004? And said, son, you're the best young tight end I've seen since Trent Smith. Trent Smith was a Clinton guy.
Nice.
And that meant a lot to me at the time. Because I think Trent was the 2003 draft.
Yep.
If my memory serves me correctly.
That's right.
So that was like a big boost for me as a young football player. I knew I was good at it, but it was one of those where it was like, damn. Like Trent Smith is from Clinton. The Clinton coach said that. And I was fired up.
That's pretty cool. I like that stuff.
But I was a Trent Smith guy before that moment, but that just kind of I don't know. It just made me a bit even bigger fan. He got drafted to what, Baltimore, and I was following him and his NFL career. But I was a big Trent Smith guy. Favorite OU player after your time, it's easy. Baker Mayfield. I would have given anything to play with him. And it was because of how he was as a leader, but just the plays he could make. Man, I mean, it was wildly entertaining. I think he's the most loved OU player of all time. And it's hard not to have him at the top of the list. I know it's the easy answer, but
I've said it a million times. I've been to a bunch of big football games, been a part of a bunch of big football games. I've never at any level seen one guy in a stadium have 80,000, 100,000, doesn't matter. Everyone is watching him the entire time. Whenever their offense is out there, whenever the defense is out there, whenever they're warming up, post game, the entire place just follows Baker Mayfield around. How entertaining he is. It's unbelievable.
It's just the easy answer. And then the most underrated player during my time, a lot of guys come to mind, but I thought Tony Jefferson was just so good. And the hardest I've ever been hit in my football career was being hit by Tony Jefferson. I was just like, not doing that again.
That's not a shock. I think both Tony Jefferson and Kenny Stills that you play with are massively underrated.
I don't know why. I felt personally attacked when Tony Jefferson went undrafted.
Yeah.
And I wasn't mad with Tony and Kenny because they left early, right? Really could have used them my senior year. Really could have used them. So there was, I wasn't outwardly angry with them, but inside I was like, oh, they would really help me have a great last season. But I just remember thinking it was the craziest thing ever that he wasn't drafted. I didn't care what he ran in the 40. The dude, you know, a football player when you see one. And that dude could play football.
Put a really nice NFL career together too.
Made himself some good money. And this is going to sound strange. I still think Ryan Broyles is underrated.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it to people. That guy was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good. And by the way, he was so strong. People do not realize how strong he was. He didn't look strong, but he was strong and just had this sense of, he had this incredible sense of space and zone coverage.
Yeah.
Where to sit down, where to throttle down, like finding the holes. He was awesome. And his name doesn't come up nearly enough when you're talking about the best players in OU history. He was so damn good.
Yeah, I agree. And he had a great style to him too. Like you could see a lot of guys, like the way they run, and you instantly know who they are when you see him on film. Doesn't even matter what number they're wearing. He's one of those guys. It's pretty cool.
Demontre Hurst also on that most underrated list.
Yeah.
Not someone that people talk about, but he was pretty dang consistent, the speed, and also one of the most likable dudes ever, which is always a good. So I've got a lot of underrated. I got a lot of guys on the underrated list, but yeah, good question, Cooper Simon. Moving on. This one comes from at Todd KS1, who says, "What's the most challenging thing episode to episode of getting it finished?"
Hmm.
Is there anything challenging? I feel like we are in a pretty good workflow.
It's a pretty good workflow, I guess. Like if there's anything that's challenging, I guess sometimes it's scheduling and when to record. There's a lot of different stuff going on, but that's really not that difficult. So that's pretty easy. Knock on wood.
It helps that it's simply a two-man operation. So for anyone that doesn't know, a little look behind the curtain. No one else helps us with this. You're looking at people. I say, hey, can I talk to your producer? Yeah, talk to me and Ted. Can I talk to your marketing department? Yeah, right here. Your editing people. Yeah, talk to us. What do you need? We got you. This is a two-man operation, which can make it difficult, I guess, at times that we don't have a bunch of people doing stuff for us, but it also keeps it very, very simple because we don't have to worry about anyone else.
Simple. We got a format that we stick to. That's pretty straightforward. And hey, since we've started, it's pretty much been a nonstop flow of content from OU. So that has helped a lot.
That has
been. We haven't had any dry spells of content.
Just a reminder, we started this during April of 2020.
Yeah.
The absolute worst time to start a sports podcast. They weren't playing sports, but it's worked out. So as far as challenges, the most challenging thing is once the season ends, where the hell is my wife going to have me to where we,
right.
That's basically the most challenging thing is doing it while traveling. That's
the
about it.
Podcast. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And just sometimes you got to hope that the Wi-Fi gods are smiling on you. So other than that, great question, but I'd like to think we're having a lot of fun doing this and the challenges are minimal.
It's an underwhelming answer when there's not a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes that you've got to all of the magic.
And
comes quick.
Yeah. And it's not, let's just be real. We're not winning any awards for production value on
hey,
here.
No one's listening for production value. Wrong podcast.
Yeah. Well, We try to make the content good. That's what we try. That's what we're banking on. Okay. Next question. This comes from at OU DNA guy. What cut of steak are we ordering and how done are we getting it?
Easiest answer ever. Porterhouse medium. Now, a lot of places don't have that. If they don't have that, filet medium rare.
Are you going to tell the porterhouse story from the bowl game?
Oh, down in where was that? Orlando?
Yeah. I think you should tell that story.
What's the steakhouse we went to?
I don't know. It was just, I think we just found it on.
It was really nice.
Yeah. We found it on Yelp.
Yeah. I had an argument with the waiter about the steak. I ordered a porterhouse. He brought it out. I said, that's not a porterhouse. That's a T-bone. Oh, yeah, it is. No, it's not. That's not. Which, you know, I'm not wrong, right? Like
you were not wrong. The guy did not realize who he was entering the discussion with. It wasn't an argument. You were very calm. You were not hostile in any way. You basically were just teaching him. Like, no, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you what a porterhouse is. I think you even pulled out pictures on your phone and said, no, this is what a porterhouse looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, you know what? It's not his fault. He just brought out what they cooked him in the back, but that's the best. That's what I go with. If they don't have that, filet, medium rare, nothing special. Maybe Pittsburgh style every now and then with a little extra sear, but pretty straightforward.
I'm with you. This is not an exciting answer. I'm sorry, OU DNA guy. I am the biggest filet they've got on the menu. And depending on the day and depending on the steakhouse, like if you're somewhere really, really nice in the state of Oklahoma, if you order medium, you're probably getting something closer to medium rare.
Correct.
So if I'm in Oklahoma, I'm going biggest filet they have on the menu, medium.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm out of the state,
medium.
If I'm out of state, I like the warm pink center. I'm not looking for
right
a ton of red, if that makes sense.
I feel like there's like this this built up pressure to order your steak. Like, who's the guy that's going to order it the rarest at the table?
Yeah, why is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't know. But I like if it's a good cut of steak to me. If it's cooked medium, perfect, no problem. And like if you're getting like a T-bone or a porterhouse or something like that, take it the stage up from where you typically order it because of the bone. So pretty easy guidelines for me. It's always worked.
I like it. All right, we got a couple more questions we got to get to. But first,
elevate your tailgate with Chapel Supply and Equipment, Oklahoma City. Chapel Supply and Equipment has generators and inverters on hand that'll give you all the power you need so you can take your tailgate to the next level. They've also got top-of-the-line heaters to keep you warm during those cold tailgates later in the season. Oklahoma-owned and operated. Elevate your tailgate by calling 405-495-1722 or visit chapelsupply.com. That's CHAPPELL supply.com.
And attention, business owners, you need Insurica in your life. Insurica is one of the country's largest insurance brokers with 30 offices throughout Oklahoma, Texas, and the Southwest. Insurica is able to customize programs by accessing the latest information from many insurance carriers. They compare and contrast coverage offerings and pricing in order to design a cost-effective, comprehensive program to meet your business's specific needs. If your business partners with Insurica, you'll save huge amounts of money and take back control of your total cost of risk. If your business wants to be best in class, connect with Insurica at Insurica.com. That's Insurica.com.
And head to opolisclothing.com for our podcast merchandise and the best OU gear out there. That's opolisclothing.com, OPOLIS clothing.com. Use promo code TED, TED, for 10% off. That's opolisclothing.com. Use promo code TED for 10% off. Buttery soft and 10% off.
This question comes from at Jaeger11 Robert. My guess is that human's name is Robert Jaeger. Maybe not. I like this one. He says, who, what, and why? Who was your biggest supporter growing up? What is your definition of success? Why the game of football? There's a lot to unpack there, man.
Who was your biggest supporter growing up? Outside of just saying my family, my parents, they were unbelievable. The things they had to juggle and balance and all of that. I feel like that's just such a easy answer. You know what I would say? I had an amazing group of friends growing up. You know, Fort Gibson was not very good at sports. Really not good at football. Bad. Historically horrible at football. And we had a group of friends that, I mean, there was eight of us or so. We basically started like one of our friends' dad basically started putting us through a legit strength and conditioning program like in the sixth or seventh grade. And it continued like all the way through. And that core group of guys stayed together, played together. I mean, lived together, basically. To me, that really made me more competitive, made me kind of fall in love with the off season of football, like the strength and conditioning part of football, which ended up being, you know, a huge factor. So I think I would say that group of friends. Definition of success. Is this athletically? Is this life?
I don't know.
I think that a definition of success is, it's simple. It's happiness. And that comes to people in a bunch of different ways. Maybe that's financial freedom. Maybe that's where you are with your family. Maybe it's you've been able to get your dream home, whatever that is. But to me, it's happiness. If you can do what you want and at the end of the day feel fulfilled, like, to me, that's everything. And it doesn't matter if it's sports, if it's like whatever occupation that may be, if you can wake up every day and do what you want, like, to me, that's success. Because, and it, you know, that's not the only definition, but like, to me, that is the ultimate that we strive for, right? Is to do what we want and get paid for it.
I think I think that's a great way of framing it. One of, as far as the definition of success for me, and I don't know if this is a strange way to view it, but I always view things as like, if I put as much effort as I can into something, I can kind of just live with the result. And
be able to walk away from it and say, I did my best at whatever this is. Like, whatever happens with it.
And that's like my football career, my NFL career. Did it go the way that I wanted to? Would I define it as a success? I don't know, but I felt like I gave it my best shot. You know what I mean? So that's where, yeah, I think the definition of success for me now is much different than it was before I had kids. I think now, for me, it is, my definition of success has shifted from, you know, being an NFL player to now, like, I feel my purpose has shifted to like being a good dad and husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's interesting how your life transitions from one to the other. Now, I still want, I want our podcast to continue to be the most popular podcast here in the state of Oklahoma. That was the goal when we started it. We've accomplished that goal. I have zero intentions of giving that up. And we're going to continue. And I viewed what we're doing here as successful, but I want to continue to grow our listenership and like all those things. But as far as success for me personally, I feel like it's just, my success is going to be, it's going to be measured by how happy my kids are.
Yeah.
And like how they feel about me. Like, I will feel successful as if we got two kids now, who knows how many we're going to have. But if those kids, if my two kids are like, you know what, I love my dad. And like my dad's great. My dad's the best. Like, that's what I will view as success. And obviously the same conversation for my wife, like, he's a great husband. He's a great father. There's been this shift in my life since we've had children where, yeah, I want to be successful in radio and podcasting, that stuff. But I don't know, just when kids come into play, just your whole view on life just kind of shifts.
Yeah.
Or at least it has for me.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. What, okay, so why the game of football? I don't, that's interesting. I guess like,
I know mine. I was just good at it at a young age. And I was huge. Like, I was a huge kid. And I loved basketball. I thought I was going to be a basketball player. Loved it. Was very good at it at a young age. And then you kind of have this moment of realization, start watching the NBA. You're looking around going, I'm probably not going to be 6'10", looking at my parents. Maybe football is where I will experience the most success. And I think at a young age, getting like being good at something, you build confidence and it like builds your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it just naturally happened. And I think being in the state of Oklahoma with OU football is just such a big deal. I don't know, it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
My parents certainly weren't going, hey, go play football. You need to go to college for free. Like that. I didn't have that type of pressure. It was just one of these things like, you want to do it? Okay, go do it. Oh, you're pretty good at it. Oh, I'm pretty good at it. And just kind of went from there.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. I played everything.
Yeah, so did I.
Played soccer, played baseball, played basketball, ran track, was on the swim team, did absolutely everything, but it was all just killing time until I got to play football. I was maybe the best at baseball, but there was something about the sport that I remember watching TV and seeing guys on TV and just, they looked badass. I don't know. I was just immediately drawn to the sport. And when all my friends started playing and my dad wouldn't let me play, I cried and wailed like a little bitch for a long time. It was like I wasn't going to get over it forever. But I finally got over it. And the next year when my dad let me play, I was just, from that point on, every other sport, the first time I played tackle football, every other sport just went like down to nothing. Like, this is what I want to do. Now, I still played everything, but I don't know. There's something about it that you're just kind of the physical nature of it, the camaraderie of it, I don't know. It's like legal battle is about the best way to explain it. And I don't know, just immediately drawn to it from a very young age.
I tell people this all the time. Why people say, why is football so popular in America? And one of the things, my oldest son, when he was one, go act like you got hurt in front of a little kid and see how they respond. They love it. Go like pretend like you're running into something to just fall down and be like, oh, for whatever reason, we are wired to love physical contact like that. I don't know why. And yeah. That's, I there's something about humans in general that love the physicality, like the collisions of football. It just, I'm not entirely, I cannot explain it to you scientifically, but every time I act like I was getting hurt, my son thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And he loves football already. So
that's great.
I didn't answer the who's your biggest supporter growing up. So outside the family, like my parents, my brothers, my grandmother, I would say, and it's weird. It's not weird, but my buddy Nick Coffey, we were in the same grade and we grew up down the street from each other. And we went to the same grade school, same high school, and he went to OU. And he was the only one I knew that was as competitive as I was.
Was this the Grinch?
No, not the Grinch.
Okay. Okay.
No. This guy, he works in the DA's office now. Big brain guy, went to law school. Very smart. Now fluent in Spanish, just decided to learn Spanish during COVID and is fluent in Spanish. Very smart, intelligent, awesome guy. But at a young age, and we were friends, but we also, like, we would do some weird, like, we would get angry when we lost. We'd play video games against each other and get mad. We once went bowling. I remember this vividly. I don't know. We were 12, 13, whatever. We went bowling and I can't remember if I won or he won, but somehow my shoes ended up in the trash can. Like my actual shoes. We were hyper competitive and he was a good basketball player when we were young. And his dad coached our Christ the King team. They'd take me to practice. I don't know. I'm just going to be real. He was like one of the very few friends I had growing up. And I don't know, that sense of competitiveness that we always had kind of in everything, I think was important for me.
Isn't it funny how as kids, when you're growing up, like you can end the day like so mad at a friend over something like as dumb as like a bowling game or a video game. And then the next day, it's not, it's just like, hey, how's it going? Whatever. You know, it's like that day's totally scrapped. There's nothing else that follows it. It's funny.
It
Wish that
is.
carried on.
All right, here's the last question we got. This comes from at Hunter underscore Teague. T-I-G-H-E, Teague. Tige? Tige. I don't know. Ty? I don't know. I'm trying, Hunter. I try my best. He asks, what's been your most meaningful memory from the time you began working on the radio broadcast until now?
Huh.
You've been doing it longer than I have, but I have a couple that jump into my mind pretty quickly.
Most meaningful memory from the time you've been working on the radio broadcast till now. Huh. I'm trying to think of how to take that as.
Is it like the most exciting moment?
Yeah.
Meaningful's hard to, it's a tough word to unpack.
It is. The run of OU Texas games that we've had has been incredible. And I still think like the best football game I've ever seen was the 21 OU Texas game, the comeback, and all the crazy things that happened in that game. As far as like the most memorable broadcast and 4.5 hours on air or however long that game was, I have to go with that. I mean, it was awesome. The broadcast was awesome. The crowd was awesome. Storming the field, just everything that happened was an incredible experience. For radio, that's as good as you can get. That's all you could ever ask for in a broadcast.
I think mine's the same. I thought about the 2019 Baylor game in Waco, that comeback. That was awesome. But that OU Texas game, 2021. And one of the reasons it's so meaningful is because of something that happened going into the locker room and then something that happened after the game. The first half did not go well. Well documented, did not go well. But Kennedy Brooks was walking by me. I was walking to the ramp to just go to the bathroom, and Kennedy Brooks was walking by me, and I turned to him and I said, "Hey, you guys could still win this game." And we started talking. It's like, "Hey, that you're not going to play that bad. That type of stuff isn't going to happen in the second half. Like you guys can win this game. You got to go in there and make those guys believe." And we were just chatting about it. And then the second half unfolds the way that it does. And after the game, he comes up to me. He's like, you told me, dog. You told me. I was like, yep. And it was just
That's
a, it was a
awesome.
cool, it was a cool moment, you know?
That is
But that one's hard to beat, man.
yeah, that's incredible. Incredible. I had everything you could ever imagine in a football game. We went through it post game. I can't even remember all the stuff. It was crazy. That was awesome.
Another fun Q&A session.
Love them.
And we've got so many good questions to get through. We'll mix these in the off season because we just have a lot of fun doing them, and it's just a nice little change up for the podcast. On that note, episode 391, 400 rapidly approaches. We'll have a new podcast that'll drop Monday morning. Is that right? No. This is Sunday. It'll be Wednesday. It'll be Wednesday. I
Yes.
lied. It'll be on Wednesday. Just a reminder, you can hear Teddy from 3 to 6 on the Ref. You can hear me on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio, Channel 375. Hope you all have a great start to your week. And until next time, I appreciate y'all for listening. Do what you always do, Oklahoma. Take care of each other.
True. I don't want no one, girl. one.